Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP, I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham on a Tuesday morning, 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, as it's Taco Tuesday, sure, LeBron's happy to be out of the... Mike said that LeBron wanted to make sure he won game six so he could be back for Taco Tuesday.
Clear his calendar, yeah.
He's also got to do some disciplining of Bronny. Bronny's been posting some videos on social media.
Oh no, what kind?
Where he's using substances that maybe he shouldn't be using, you know. So Bronny might need to be in some trouble. There are a lot of funny
kind of
videos.
Substances?
What do you think, Mike? Like not horrible substances, but substances. You know what I mean?
A plant.
Exactly. You know, you see, why do you got to do this where you make me...
Well,
you know,
I don't know. You made it seem worse than it was.
Well, that's my fault for bringing that up. But everybody had the videos last night of, like, Bronny being terrified that LeBron's finally leaving the bubble because Bronny's been running roughshod, I guess, back home. So LeBron's back for Taco Tuesday. So that's good.
Tuesday!
215... 215-592-9494. In a minute, we'll get to Doug Peterson and Stephen A. Smith on Dak Prescott. First, let's talk to Adrian. What's happening, Adrian?
Tom Kelly, it would take you to put a bad spin on something. You just, I don't know what you are, man. You just a negative person.
What did I do? What did I do?
Out of everything you said about LeBron, you had to bring up his son. Kids is off limits, man.
Oh, well, I ain't called
to talk about that. I call to talk about that. You know, I hear you always express how bad my team is, but, I mean, every game we lost the teams we supposed to lose to. Y'all lost the two teams that y'all wasn't supposed to lose.
Well, Adrian, if that's the case, the Giants will lose every game they ever play. Of course they're supposed to lose. They're supposed to lose to everybody.
Nah,
They got the Jets.
We ain't going to lose to the no-name team.
Yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are.
Bet we beat the no-name team, and bet we beat Cincinnati.
You're definitely not beating Cincinnati, Adrian. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow can play. Well, are you worried about Danny Dimes?
Is a joke. Well, you know, who this guy that always put the spin on everything? Is it Clyde Simmons?
Seth Joyner?
Seth Joyner. He ain't like he done won something or he a Hall of Famer. Like, come on, man. If he was a defensive coordinator, the Eagles would be worse.
Yeah, well, we can agree there, Adrian. I am not advocating for Seth Joyner to be the Eagles defensive coordinator.
But, yeah, man, I don't know. I think that the bubble was a success. Ain't nobody come up with no positive. I give LeBron – I still can't give him over Will Chamberlain because the numbers Will put up. I think Will would do the same thing now. He would kill this league. He would kill this league just like he killed back in the day. I mean, and the same thing with LeBron. LeBron would kill back in the day like he's killing now. But them numbers Will put up. You can't deny them numbers, man. You just can't deny them.
No, but I mean the level of competition back then was, I mean, not nearly what it is now. There are a lot of great players in the NBA now.
I don't know. I think back then it was a lot more scheme. It was a lot more thinking. It was a lot better defense. Now they're not playing any defense. Like, come on,
that's just Adrian. That's just not true, though. Like, I think it appears that way, but the facts are that the shooting and the offense is just so much better now that that's just the way it appears.
I just think because now you know they got the 3-point line and it's a little further. So I mean, that's just that's just the makeup of the game. But I think back then, I mean, you got some players that can probably play now. I mean, but you got a lot of players who play now, couldn't play back then, and would not be as good as they are now than back then. That's what I think. That's
yeah, I think. We'll have to agree to disagree on that one, AJ.
Yeah, that's just what I mean. But, you know, I mean, hey, look, it's wide open. I think the Dallas Cowboys are going to be a lot better with Andy Dalton. Only reason I say that, this is what I'm going to tell you why I say it. Because now I think they're going to slow the game down a little bit more, and their defense is not going to be on the field as much. With Dak Prescott, they score so many points, so it put the defense back on the field so much. Their defense is bad. So if you can keep Dallas' defense off the field, that's going to make them a better team. I'm telling you, they're going to be a better team, man, because they're going to depend on Zeke a lot more. And Andy, you got to understand, Andy Dalton, he was okay, but now you give Andy Dalton all these weapons. I'm telling you, man, if you think y'all can – I think they're going to be a lot better
so,
football team.
Adrian, I just got to get this. I want to make sure I heard you correctly. So you think they'll be better with Andy Dalton because Dak Prescott was negatively affecting them by scoring more points. He was scoring too many points is no, Dallas's problem. And now they're scoring less points, they'll be a better team.
No. What I'm saying is that the defense will be a lot better because now they won't be on the field they won't be on the field as much as they was with Dak Prescott. That's what can you hear the words?
Or they'll just go three and out, and they'll be back on the field a lot more often anyway.
Come on. I'm telling you, I'm just thinking that's how it's going to be. And he never played with all these weapons. He got weapons all over the place.
I think you're reaching.
I think they're going to be a little better.
All right, I got you, Adrian. Well, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for the call.
All right,
take it easy. It just, I got to say, it's not, like, I love hearing from Adrian. I like talking to him. It's just not, you know, it's not, we don't have the same kind of arguments because he's just got such a pathetic team. You know, it's kind of sad. You can hear it in his voice. He tries to ramp up the Eagles hate and I mean, what was his reasoning for the Giants there that, well, we're supposed to lose, so it doesn't matter if we lose. It's just sad. Must be sad being a Giants fan or a Jets fan. What a terrible, terrible sports scene it is in New York right now. Even the Yankees.
Aaron
lost.
Boone.
Yeah, what Booney.
Yeah.
What happened to the Savages? The Savages in the box.
They got what their one run, and that was enough.
Yeah. And by the way, in baseball, are the Rays really going to ruin this for us? Nobody
ruin
wants
it.
To see the Rays in this World Series.
I know why you don't want the Rays to win it.
Why?
Because then that would mean you to look at me as somebody who's correct in both the NBA and MLB with my predictions.
To be honest, I could care less about your predictions, Mike.
Well, last week you came in and said, we're going to talk about your terrible predictions.
I want Astros-Dodgers. I mean, how can you not want Astros-Dodgers?
Well, I wanted Astros-Yankees more.
Wouldn't you love Joe Kelly and Correa meeting in like a big at bat like with the World Series on the line? That'd be unbelievable.
It would. I agree.
Yeah. So, and the you know the Braves are entertaining. There's just nothing entertaining about the Rays. Nobody wants to see the Rays get the World Series.
I think it is. Like you have no idea.
But you're like
ending
a
after ending what they're gonna do.
But you're like a baseball guy, like to the hilt, Mike. Like
usually baseball guys are the ones that watch the playoffs. Yeah.
Right, but. As more casual fans, we're looking for storylines.
What about
and
Rose
the Astros
Arena?
Bring the storylines?
A Rose Arena.
You could ask 20 people who Randy Rose Arena is, and I can tell you probably I'd be shocked if 5 knew who he was.
Maybe, yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah. So, I guess I won that argument. Well, I don't know. I'll proclaim myself the winner. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. Talking about the Eagles most of the night here, and my kind of positive spin on things. Not known as the most positive person, but I am optimistic about the rest of the season right now. Number one, because Carson Wentz played significantly better in that game in Pittsburgh on Sunday, which was needed. I mean, the Eagles need Carson Wentz to play at the level he played at the end of last season and, you know, just run the offense competently. And I feel much more confident that he's going to be able to do that after what we saw on Sunday afternoon in Pittsburgh. But the other reason why I am more optimistic, and this is not something I take joy in, but the reality is it does help the Eagles, is the Dak Prescott injury. And the fact that now the Eagles become the clear favorite to win this division to the point where it would be a massive, massive failure if they did not win the division. And, you know, the Dak Prescott injury is terrible. It's terrible. It's something you never want to see for any player, and especially a player that is entertaining to watch, regardless of what you feel about Dak, and is such an important player in the league. And, you know, you saw on social media just an outpouring of, you know, sympathy for Dak, who has been somebody who's gone through a lot, has opened up about his, you know, mental health struggles throughout all this after, you know, losing a family member last year, and is obviously a well-respected guy throughout the league. You can just see that by how people have, you know, reacted to this injury that not only puts him out for the rest of the season, but potentially jeopardizes the rest of his career. And here was Doug Peterson on Monday talking about his perspective looking at the Dak injury.
Well, I, you know, as I said with Angelo this morning, that my heart goes out to Dak and obviously his family. And you never want to see anybody, whether it be on your own team or even a rival or anybody in the league, you know, suffer these types of injuries, you know, because we know that this game is hard enough and injuries are a part of the game. But these types of injuries where, you know, he could miss obviously the remainder of the season, multiple weeks for sure. It's terrible. Having gone through it with our quarterback, with Carson, and Dallas is in that same boat now. It's the next man up mentality, and you know, they'll rally and be behind, you know, Andy Dalton and get him prepared and ready to go, just like we did with, you know, with Nick Foles back, a few years ago. So you never want to see it, you know, happen. My thoughts and prayers are obviously with Dak and his recovery, and hope to see him out on the field soon.
Yeah, and it is terrible. And regardless how you feel about the player or the team he plays for, nobody wants to see that, as especially as gruesome an injury as that was. But now, you know, the fallout of this, and honestly, I missed the story on it. I was so preoccupied with the Eagles and, the outlook with Dak being out. I didn't even think about the contract part of it until Linda and Bala had brought it up to me last night. And, Mike, Linda brought this up, and I blanked on it.
She's a salary cap guru.
Linda's great, and she thinks about this kind of stuff. But Linda brought it up, and it's exactly right that the fallout of this now with the contract situation, I mean, it could be catastrophic for Dak Prescott. I mean, he's a guy who obviously is making decent money and has made good money, but when you look at the fact that he had a contract extension seemingly on the table where he could have been upwards of $100 million, and now who knows if he ever sees that money, it could be a big-time issue for him moving forward. And now the question becomes, like, what is he owed from the Dallas Cowboys? Like, what is he owed from a moral perspective in terms of obviously gambled on himself, and now that long-term contract is in peril? Well, Stephen A. Smith on First Take, right?
Yes.
Okay. Stephen A. was on First Take, and he had some strong thoughts about how Jerry Jones should handle this situation. Here's Stephen A.
Somehow, some way, Dak Prescott can't get a long-term deal. Now, I know that Jerry Jones is like, or the Dallas Cowboys, reportedly, because one of the things that I lamented with all of these astute aficionados and big-time insiders, nobody could definitively tell us what the hell a hangup was. And then we learned, oh, Jerry Jones wants to lock him in for 5 years. Dak Prescott only wants to sign for 4 years. Would that have stopped you from signing Tony Romo? Would that have stopped you from taking care of him? Would that have stopped you from ensuring that an incident like yesterday with Dak Prescott takes place, and instead with Tony Romo, where his future would have been set? Now Dak Prescott's up in the air. We get to sit back and just say, okay, Jerry Jones has thrown all of these laudables in his way. He's a Dallas Cowboy. We're going to take care of him. All the love and support is here. But his contract still expires this year. And then you get to franchise him next year. And he'll be on a one-year deal again. And oh, by the way, now he's got to come back with something to prove. Got to prove he's healthy. Got to prove his durability is still not going to be a question. And as a result, maybe then he'll get his money. But when that wasn't a question, you wouldn't commit to him long-term unless it was longer than he wanted it. This stinks. It's messed up. And it's a damn shame that Dak Prescott has to be in this position. I know he's still getting his $31.4 million. I know he'll probably get more than that with the franchise tag next year. But at a time 7 years ago when Tony Romo was getting paid nine figures, his durability was question mark, and he wasn't winning any more than Dak was. Somehow, some way, he's taken care of, and Dak Prescott is in this position. Jerry Jones, I'm sure you're proud. Brilliant business move. I'm sure you're proud.
Now, I mean, I this puts me in a really difficult position. And yeah, I mean, Dak still is making over $30 million. I mean, Dak's going to be all right financially. I mean, he is losing potentially a decent amount of money, but he is all right financially. This puts me in a difficult position because there are not many people that I hate, even though I think I did say I hated Sean Payton and Taysom Hill earlier. Maybe I don't hate those guys. Maybe that was a little over the top. But one person who maybe I do hate is Jerry Jones. I mean, Jerry Jones, I think, is, you know, in many ways a pretty evil person, and has been over the course of his career. And I don't think, you know, has the well-being of others as a top priority of his. I mean, just look at how full his stadium has been so far this year. You know, he wants the money, and he doesn't care about the health of his fans.
You don't squeeze your daddy as hard as you can.
I don't know where that came from, but so be it. But as much as I would like to agree with Stephen A. Smith on this and yell and scream about Jerry Jones and what an awful person, how could you not give Dak Prescott a long-term deal now? I can't do that. Like, I mean, I don't, Mike, what was Stephen A.'s premise now? That morally, Jerry Jones is under some sort of moral obligation to give Dak Prescott an $100 million deal? Like,
yeah,
this is like, Dak had the option to sign the contract. He decided not to sign the contract. I hate to agree with Jerry Jones, but Jerry Jones doesn't have an obligation to give Dak that deal now.
No, this is, you know, I've become a fan of Stephen A. in the recent years, but this was a miss. Like,
yeah,
the presentation of it was like, just, I don't, like, why did he, like, he should have just omitted the 5-year contract thing from his argument. That hurt him. Say, like, Jerry wanted to overcommit to him. He wanted to commit to him so much that Dak didn't like how many years he wanted to commit it to the contract was.
Right.
Like, that was a weird miss. I mean, I don't know. Like, Tony Romo signed a 6-year deal.
Right, right.
Why did he sign a 6-year deal? Because he signed it.
Right. He acts like he's playing favorites with Romo. It's like, no, the difference is Romo signed the deal that he was offered.
And
like,
Romo won more than Prescott. Let's not mistake that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. No, you're right. And, like, okay, well, Romo was playing under the contract that he and Jerry Jones and the Cowboys had all agreed upon. Like, if Tony Romo hadn't signed the contract, Jerry Jones wouldn't be paying Tony Romo over $100 million. Like, Tony Romo made the decision. He wanted to take that deal. Dak Prescott decided to gamble on himself. And unfortunately for him, that gamble backfired. That's not Jerry Jones' fault.
Right. Yeah, I mean, everyone's in a rush now to, like, just in this COVID climate to be pro-labor and not want to back the owner. But, you know, sometimes, like, the gamble goes wrong. Like, the gambling on yourself, you know, he busted. It was wrong.
Right. And, like, you look at the Carson Wentz deal, and there is, you know, we can debate forever whether Carson Wentz, what kind of player he's going to be, but pretty much everybody nationally, so not just from Philadelphia, but nationally, said at the time, that's a pretty team-friendly deal. The reason the Eagles got Carson Wentz below value of where theoretically of what theoretically he could have gotten was because of the injury history. Carson Wentz could have opted to gamble on himself And he could have decided not to sign that deal. And you know what? Even with the struggles he's had this year, the Eagles would have had to pay him more. But they got him below market value in a way because, I mean, Carson made the decision to sign the contract. Dak made the decision not to sign the contract. Like, this isn't that confusing. I don't want to defend Jerry Jones ever, but Stephen A's wrong here. The Cowboys aren't obligated to give him a long-term deal now out of sympathy. That's not the way it works.
No, it's not. That's, I mean, it would be foolish to give him the same contract again.
Right. Like that's why there was like a legitimate debate at the time when the Sixers gave Joel Embiid that max extension. There was skepticism of whether they should have given him the contract. Obviously, it's proven out that was the right move. But at the time, there was legit concern based off Embiid's injury history that that might not have been the wisest move. You know, so I don't agree with Stephen A. Smith there. Hate to side with Jerry Jones on anything. And, I mean, Dak might still get the long-term deal. It depends kind of how the recovery goes. I think right now, the injury's bad, and it looks bad, but there's a chance that he comes back next year and he's fine. Like, I think right now the reason people are so concerned, obviously the way it looked, it was ugly, but the thought of Alex Smith comes in everybody's mind. But, you know, if Dak Prescott doesn't have the complications that Alex Smith had, then maybe he comes back fine here. You know, like, this could end up being the equivalent to a torn ACL, and Dak Prescott could be back at full strength.
Some are saying it's a blessing.
Would you tell me Tony Dungy had said that?
Tony Dungy said it could be a blessing in disguise because it'll make the Cowboys run the ball more.
Oh, yeah. That's a heck of a take. Yeah. Tony and Adrian should have lunch and talk about why Dak getting hurt is a good thing for the Cowboys. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. When we get back, me and Michael continue our bubble draft a little bit. And I also want to, talk a little more about the Eagles' emerging star at wide receiver and what it means for the team going forward. We'll do that a little bit next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly in for Big Daddy Graham. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494. I teased this about 2.5 hours ago at the top of the show. But next segment, we have what Mike Angelina has hyped up to be a super-sized, is that the way you put it? Gabe Kapler check-in. How much?
It was a powerful one.
Powerful. How many sounds do we have from Gabe next segment?
Three. We'll get a piece of clarity on Gabe's appearance from 5 months ago on your favorite show, Shelter on Base.
Okay.
We'll get an update on what Gabe's doing. He's sending birthday wishes to fans and stuff. I found a video on YouTube that only had three views. So
three views?
Yes. Yeah, so
wow.
We're about to open that up. And then
make sure you don't get a virus or something. You open that up. Three views. I don't know.
And then we'll have a musical update on what Gabe's been up to. But in such a Gabe way, he explains it pretty funny. Like, it'll make everyone laugh.
All right. Well, do you think this is going to be the last Gabe check-in, or do you think we're going to have more next week?
No, I unlocked some more stuff.
Okay, great. With the season over, we are uncertain of where our Gabe check-ins would come from.
Yeah, so I think going forward, we may have, like, a Gabe tip of the week. Like, it'll be a more abbreviated segment, but it's just one little piece of advice from Gabe.
Okay. Well, so either way, we'll keep Gabe integrated in the show here, which I'm sure he will enjoy because I'm sure he listens to the show frequently. But in a minute, I do want to talk a little more about the Eagles' emerging star, Travis Fulgham, who, I mean, I think this kid is for real. I really do. I don't think this is a flash in the pan, going away type thing. They might have found the real player here. So we'll talk about him in a minute. But first, let's make a couple more picks in our bubble draft. Me and Mike, with this NBA season coming to an end, we're both big basketball guys. We're upset that basketball's over. I guess college basketball starts soon, though. So at least we'll have something to watch. How do you feel about your St. Mary's Gales this year?
My St. Mary's Gales?
Yeah.
Are they going to play?
I guess, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe the WCC, I'm not sure
yeah,
where
know.
They stand right now.
I'm still like getting into Like, I'm in college football and NFL mode. I'm not.
Yeah.
And obviously, I don't see us.
I was so bummed the other night. I looked up NBA, timeline, like, for the offseason.
Yeah.
And the first article I looked up said the draft was Friday night.
No,
and
I'm postponed.
Like, yeah, but at first I'm like, oh, the draft's Friday, and I was excited about that. But we still have a little while to go now between that and the offseason.
I like the other night when there's baseball playoffs going on, NBA finals going on, football's midseason, college football's back, and the NHL just slips in a draft.
Yeah, nobody knew that was happening. But I guess the Flyers got somebody. That's our hockey analysis tonight.
Yeah, they drafted somebody.
Yeah, they drafted somebody, and they signed Gustafson today. Which I know Turtle wasn't happy about. Turtle hates every move.
What was the last Flyers move that they made that Turtle approved of?
I don't know. He hates every move they make. Maybe when Bill's back from his honeymoon, maybe we'll book Bill Matz to break down the Flyers offseason. But with basketball coming to an end, me and Mike are selecting our all bubble teams. So I guess, Mike, we'll take a starting lineup and then like two bench guys.
Okay.
What do you think of that?
Yeah.
So right now you have Jamal Murray and Tyler Hero. I have Damian Lillard and Nikola Jokic. Why don't you make your next pick here?
All right. Bam Adebayo.
You're taking Bam Adebayo as your center. Okay. And I will take Devin Booker, who had a very strong showing with the Suns, as my next pick.
We should point out to, if anyone just joined, that this is based on whose stock rose the most,
right?
Not necessarily the best player.
Thank you, Mike. That is a good thing to specify, is whose stock rose the most in the bubble, not just the best players. So why don't you make another pick here?
I think I will go with Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown. Okay. That's a good one. And I am going to take, from the Indiana Pacers, T.J. Warren, who put 50-plus on the Sixers.
Stock rose with one exhibition.
I have a high-scoring squad with Lillard and Booker and Warren. I think I'm beating you so far. I still need power forward. We'll get back to this in a little bit here. We'll continue doing research on our bubble guys. I have done no research. This is basically just off the top of my head here.
I have one guy who I can't stand, but absolutely needs to be on this team.
Okay.
We'll get to.
Well, we'll pick this up in the 5 o'clock segment when we have to. Are we doing a fantasy update, or are we vow not to do one? We haven't heard from Andrew.
I mean, so. We could. Like, my outcome's not determined yet because I have the Titans tight end Smith.
Oh, yeah. There's still Tuesday night game.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, we could talk about how badly you are, how bad your team
is.
Yeah,
maybe we'll just skip it this week.
Okay.
I lost the ESP of all people.
Ugh. That's
just
not good.
Terrible. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And as I said, we'll hear from Gabe next segment. But I did want to talk a little bit about the Eagles receivers here. As Travis Fulgham has emerged in an incredible way over the last two games, has the game-winning touchdown against the Niners, and at that point you're looking at it and you're thinking, okay, nice story, undrafted kid, steps in when the Eagles are depleted, makes a big play, and helps you win a game. And, you know, even if that was the end of the story, you'd think, okay, that's a pretty positive story. Then what happened on Sunday happened, where he has 10 catches, 152 yards. Is he going to be the NFC Offensive Player of the Week? Like, there's got to be a legitimate chance that he ends up winning that award for this week. But 10 for 152 and a touchdown, which is just incredible. It's as good a game I've seen from an Eagles wide receiver. I can't remember the last time I've seen an Eagles wide receiver have that kind of a game, that kind of dominance. And the way he is able to use his body to shield off defenders, and the way he just goes up for balls, like, it was so just refreshing to see a wide receiver actually going up and making a play. Like that play in the back of the end zone, John Hightower, where it was actually a beautiful ball from Wentz. He should have caught it, and he's just waiting for it to come to him, and then it goes through his arms. If he goes up and tries to make that play and catch the ball at his highest point, he might make that play, and then the whole game's different. But Fulgham reminded me of Alshon Jeffery, back when Alshon Jeffery was a productive player, a guy that's big, not the speediest player, but can use that size to his advantage. And, you know, it's an unbelievable story here to see what an undrafted player who's bounced around the league has done. Here's Doug Peterson on Monday talking about his new star receiver.
You know, I didn't really know much about him. I mean, I knew coming out of the draft, I mean, he was on our draft board, and he was, I think, one of the third or fourth round grade on him, you know, coming out. And so we had him ranked pretty high, but I didn't spend enough time or really any time looking at that time until we got him. And then, you know, watched his tape, and, you know, he came to us and he started making plays against the defense on the practice squad. And just then injuries happened, and he gets an opportunity. It's a great example of players that get opportunities and then make the most of their opportunities, and that's what he's doing right now. And what a game yesterday, and he's got a really good feel, you know, with Carson. And again, that's something we got to continue to keep that relationship growing.
Now, you know, obviously the Eagles didn't see this from a talent perspective, and I mean, nobody else did either. You know, nobody had signed Travis Fulgham. Nobody thought that he had this kind of potential, or else obviously he would have had a job. Now, it just goes to show that so much of playing wide receiver is having that chemistry with a quarterback. And in a lot of ways, that is much more important than talent alone. And, you know, the reason you kind of bring that up here is when you look at this offense moving forward, and obviously we'll continue to ask and see when the Eagles are going to get some of these players back. But, you know, Alshon Jeffery and DeSean Jackson, I assume, are going to be back at some point. I'll say I'm not in a rush for either of those guys to come back. Like, I honestly don't care if either of them come back. Alshon Jeffery, we know the issues he's had. DeSean Jackson, you can never rely on him to be healthy. And, you know, I think the Eagles need to really start prioritizing which guys does Carson Wentz click with the most. Because that's clearly something that affects his play. I don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden Carson Wentz is playing better when he finds a receiver that he's on the same page with. Like, it's not a coincidence Carson Wentz all of a sudden looks like Carson Wentz again after he has developed this kind of chemistry with Travis Fulgham. And you can't be taking him off the field to four snaps for Alshon Jeffery, or four snaps for DeSean Jackson, or four snaps for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, who honestly, I would like to see him cut at this point. I don't care if he's second-round pick. The guy can't play. He hurts you every time he's in. You can't have Travis Fulgham losing snaps to players who don't play well with this quarterback. And the Eagles need to understand that and start prioritizing that more. Where you've got to play the players who are on the same page with Carson Wentz. Obviously, that is something that affects his play and, you know, clearly helps the offense when he's on the same page with receiver. And the guys he's clicked with are Fulgham and Ward, and obviously Jalen Reagor. When he gets back, he's going to play, and he should play. But chemistry is more important than talent when it comes to that side of the ball. And, you know, we focus so much on the receivers, and I get it. They haven't been good the last couple years, but I don't know if it's all talent or if it's that connection with the quarterback more than anything. Because you look at a guy like Nelson Agholor was, I think we all knew, had some level of talent, but he never really connected with Carson Wentz. You look at Nelson Agholor this year in Las Vegas, he's having a pretty good season. So the Eagles need to focus on that kind of thing and get Carson Wentz involved in these decisions. Ask him who he wants out on the field. Stop trying to force guys that obviously he just has no chemistry with, like Alshon Jeffery and J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. When we get back, we will have a Gabe Kapler check-in, postseason edition, and hear from Gabe on what's been going on out by the bay this last week. So we'll do that next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you for another couple segments here before we talk to Al for the overlap show. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. We have gotten a tweet from Andrew asking for his fantasy football update, so I guess we got to do it. But good to hear from Andrew. I was worried about him because we hadn't heard from him this year, but apparently he still does want his updates, Mike. So I'm going to have to update my my loss to ESP, which is – you never want to lose to ESP. He's like the villain of the league, just like he's the villain of WIP. So
the villain of WIP.
Well, Elliot's got some controversial takes. I personally find Elliot amusing. I don't have a problem with Elliot, but, you know, a lot of people don't think he has an anti-Carson Wentz agenda, which he may. But I find Elliot entertaining. I have no problem with Elliot.
If we have hopefully it doesn't come to this, but if we have another pandemic again, instead of like Goat of Broad Street, we should do the villain of WIP.
Yeah, that's a good one. I only have a problem with one person in the league. And I'm not going to mention any names.
Yeah.
If you listen to the show frequently, you know who that is. Mike knows who that
is. It slipped in last night.
Yeah. I mean, Mosh kind of, we have rules on this show that I kind of had to, tell Mosh on the air. There's certain names that we don't mention.
He's probably tired. It's probably just a moment of weakness.
People are a little sensitive. So, we have certain rivalries and there is one person in the league that always get along great.
Yeah, and next segment too, we'll tell everyone about an argument that's kind of spurred on by the midday show.
Yeah, I also used to have a rivalry with Dave Uram, but me and Uram are good now, I guess. I get Uram in smaller doses now, and if Uram in small doses,
Uram in small doses, he's nothing but productive.
Being around Uram all the time is just, you know, that can get a little repetitive quickly. But Dave knows we're having fun if he's listening right now. He's probably not, though. 215-592-9494. So Gabe Kapler check-in, Mike. What do we got from Gabe today? His off-season's underway. Is he enjoying his off-season?
I think he'd rather be somewhere else. He'd probably rather be at in Arlington, the NLCS, where his...
who was there? His buddy Pablo.
Pablo was there. I didn't even know Pablo landed on his feet.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw some big fat guy at the plate, and he apparently got hit by a pitch, and that was a big play in the game.
I couldn't find a clip of this, but apparently post game he called Max Fried Max Frito.
Max
Frito, like the chip.
Or
the,
is it his name Fried?
It is Fried.
Okay,
but Pablo thought it was Frito.
Oh, okay. The pitcher of the Braves.
Yeah. All right. So, Gabe, this one, I watched this video just for your sake because I know how much of a fan you are of the show, Shelter on Base. Mm-hmm. It's these four bloggers that get on Zoom and just kind of chat. And they had Gabe on during the pandemic, pretty early in the pandemic, like maybe early May. And I thought they just, maybe they reached out to the Giants PR team and tried to get Gabe. That's not what happened. Gabe heard an episode of their show and wanted to call in, and this is them kind of talking about that.
It was a great year. The Giants way overperformed. Farhan got some steals, and I think Gabe, from what I read from the players after the season, it seemed like they all adjusted and started to warm up to his style. I loved it as a fan. He came on our show, which, he could have won zero games.
Come on our show.
My best of the season.
Asked us to come on the show.
That's true.
He did not invite him.
He invited himself.
Always
hey, long time watcher, first time caller.
He wanted to talk to us about Bay Area hip hop. That's why he wanted to be on the show. That's legitimately why he wanted to be on the show.
Shout out Gabe Kapler. Yeah, he can go 0 for 162 next year.
As Cole likes to call him,
Gabe the Babe.
Gabe the Babe.
We can have the Babe Kapler.
So they're calling him Gabe the Babe? Is that what they're calling him?
Yeah, I mean, he wanted to talk West Coast rap so badly, he begged to go on this
show. So
he's
just going around begging to go on podcasts?
I guess. Maybe we can book him.
Maybe we can. I mean, I don't think Gabe's coming.
Can we
back
just
on
tell, like, just can we just amuse him by telling him we'll talk West Coast rap for 5 minutes?
I'll talk about whatever Gabe wants to talk about. If Gabe wants to come on, I will talk about whatever he wants to. I'll chat about whatever he wants to chat about.
Gabe, I'll book you with this guy. He doesn't even know what Fleetwood Mac is, but talk music with him.
So you heard the Fleetwood Mac conversation?
Like, yeah.
So it is it's a band. It's not a person.
Well, it's two people's last names.
Oh, all right. I don't know. Have you are you as annoyed with that video as I am?
I'm 0% annoyed by it.
Oh, I'm tired of this. I don't get the whole obsession with this cranberry juice video.
He's made out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean the guy's doing great. I guess I'm jealous of his success. I don't know. I don't get what's so amusing about it.
All right.
But let's move on with the check-in.
This one is all right. So this part of the check-in is just gonna be what Gabe's been up to. This is just a quick one. I found the Cameo thing where you can like wish somebody a happy birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
He did it for a 16-year-old. This is what I was referring to on YouTube. I found it had 3 views. So
how much is Gabe going for on Cameo? Because certain people it differs in the level of payment for a wish. Do you know how much it costs for Gabe to send you a little video message?
No, maybe while I play the clip, I can find
it. Okay, sorry.
Hey, it's Gabe Kaplan with the Giants, and this is for Alex. Alex, just wanted to wish you a happy birthday. I know you're going to turn 16. I know you're a catcher, and you get done behind the plate, and you're a junior at Carmel High School. Very, very cool. I know you have type 1 diabetes, and you're able to overcome that and be a tremendous student and a tremendous athlete. Just want you to know how much I respect that. Stay strong, safe, and healthy. Hopefully see you at a ballpark in 2021. Take care.
That's a nice message.
Yeah. We gets it done behind the plate.
We should get Gabe next time. I don't know when Angelo's birthday is, but whenever Angelo's birthday, we should get Gabe to wish Angelo a happy birthday on Cameo.
I think it was in March. $75.
Wow, that's a pretty high price. Gabe doesn't come cheap.
Well, it's all for a good cause.
Yeah,
whatever that cause.
Will you buy me a Cameo, a Gabe Cameo birthday message on March 10th, Mike?
I'm going to have to stretch my budget from a bagel to a Gabe Kaplan Cameo.
Yeah, and 2 bagels now you said you're going to buy.
Well, that's only if your son's born on the same day.
Right, right. Only if he's born on the same day as me. So if he is, you're going to have to get us 2 bagels.
That's right. Okay. All right, so this next final piece of Gabe audio, I saved the best one for last. It's basically him saying he's using like the internet to learn how to play bass, but it's just such like just very Gabe way to go about it.
We have access to the library and the internet for even more information. For example, I recently started playing my bass guitar again after a very long layoff. I was interested in learning a different way, so I hopped on my computer and I learned that musical instruments are taught in online lessons with a virtual teacher, live one-on-ones, and with countless other methods. So, I don't have to go anywhere. There are apps, free YouTube videos, and all sorts of tricks, tools, and hacks. In case you're unfamiliar, hacks are just ways to learn quicker and more efficiently. See? We're learning. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you soon.
Wait, so what was that? Was an ad read of some sort, I'm assuming.
He was
reading some sort of script. That's clear.
Yeah, so my understanding is it was like a back to school thing for like kids of like, hey, even though this is different, you can still learn on the internet because I'm learning on the internet too. So like, don't be alarmed. You can still learn. It was like kind of that kind of encouragement of
right.
a message.
But why was he cracking up laughing? That was the part that was odd.
Well, I think he was laughing at himself for how ridiculous that hack comment was.
Yeah, well, he didn't need to go on a tangent about what a hack was. I mean, that was his choice. I don't think that was written into... He went off script, and that threw him off. That was the problem.
Or maybe the script called for him to explain a hack, and he was laughing because this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think so, but maybe. I mean, who knows? Gabe, well, it's good to see that Gabe is staying busy this off season. You know, he's certainly keeping his time occupied with, doing video messages. He's got, it sounds like a little side job with Cameo. And good for Gabe. He's staying busy.
He's found some hacks.
Yeah. So we'll have more Gabe for you next week, I guess. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. 215-592-9494. 9494. When we get back, we will give our fantasy football update, which Andrew has requested. We will finish our NBA bubble draft, and we will talk about the possibility of fans being at the link this week. As that decision, I guess, I think it's supposed to come down today. So we will discuss that a little bit. And just a moronic, irresponsible comment from Florida head coach Dan Mullen, who has no regard whatsoever for public safety. So we'll do that next.
Even double down on it.
Yeah, he's that guy. What a college football coaches are just the worst. So we'll do that next. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you for a couple more minutes here. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Some things we've been discussing throughout the course of the show. My optimism regarding the Eagles following Sunday's loss in Pittsburgh. And these 5 weeks have obviously not gone according to plan for the Eagles. They have been an underperforming team. They've been a disappointing team in many areas. But 5 weeks into the season, their chances of going to the playoffs are somehow at 1-3-1 much better than they were prior to the season. I mean, before the season started, I thought they were an 8-8 team. Even with another playoff team getting in, I did not think they were going to go to the playoffs. I thought this was a year that they were intentionally trying to take a step back, you know, to try to take two steps forward in the future. I just didn't think they had a playoff roster. But after what we have seen and the unfortunate injury to Dak Prescott, and how terrible the Giants are and how terrible Washington is, and Carson Wentz, after a really poor start to the season, playing significantly better the last couple weeks, especially on Sunday. I mean, Sunday against Pittsburgh was one of the best games I've ever seen him play. Certainly, since 2017, Mike in South Philly had said last night he thought it was the best game he's played in 3 years, and I think there's an argument to be made there. He was really good. And when you take all of that into account, there is no reason the Eagles should not be able to find a way to win this division and get to the postseason. And does that solve all their problems long term? Of course not. But, you know, I do not see the benefit in not making the playoffs. I think overreacting to 5 games, that admittedly there's been a lot of bad in there, but it's a long season, and this team has shown over the course of Doug Peterson's career in Philadelphia, and even dating back to Andy Reid, that they have a knack for playing their best football after Thanksgiving, and that's when you need to turn it on. And if the Eagles can figure some of this stuff out, they have time to do so now. You get in the playoffs, you have a chance. So I'm feeling a lot better about this team. Feel really good if they can find a way to beat Baltimore this week, because after that, the schedule does lighten up a little bit. You get the Giants at home, Dallas at home, back-to-back primetime games, which we're happy about on this show. And then, you know, Cleveland and the Giants again.
It's the last Sunday, 1 o'clock for a while. Then there's two in mid-November, and then we're done.
Thank goodness. These 1 o'clock games are the worst. They are just the worst. I hate the 1 o'clock games. No energy, especially without fans. Now 1 o'clock games are just even worse. Terrible. So the Eagles' schedule lightens up a little bit, and you know, I think now it's kind of obvious. They should go to the postseason. There's no doubt about it. So we've been discussing that. We told you earlier about Monday Night Football. Great game on Monday night. Saints win in overtime. I went on a little rant about Taysom Hill. I think it's the dumbest thing in football, well, the way Sean Payton keeps going to Taysom Hill. It's just ridiculous. So we were arguing about that. And then we got Tuesday Night Football tonight. Titans and Bills. Who do you like in that one, Mike? Do you think this layoff for the Titans will affect them significantly here?
I would think it does. I just, I don't know what to what extent. Like, I don't know if it's a conditioning effect. Is it, are they galvanized by this? I don't, it could go either way.
Right.
I don't see it just being like an unchanged thing.
Right. But I do like Tuesday Night Football. So excited for that.
Why do you like Tuesday Night Football?
I like football every. I wish there was a football game every night of the week.
We're in the league championship series of baseball.
There's I'd rather watch football. Doubleheader baseball Tuesday night as well. So I'll watch that after the football game. I'll jump in midway through the Dodgers Braves.
If it was A's Mariners, would you watch?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, that of course I'm watching that one. But those the Mariners might never make the playoffs again. So, unfortunately,
Phillies are more likely.
Yeah. So, I guess without further ado, let's do this fantasy update. Andrew has asked for it, so I guess we'll continue doing them now. What happened to WIP Fantasy League this week, Mike?
Well, off the field, I think it was James Seltzer he wanted this idea.
I saw this email chain
on it.
I didn't even read it. I just saw a bunch of responses, and then the only thing I read was James Seltzer saying this is like an embarrassment to the league. James Seltzer takes fantasy football really seriously.
Yeah.
Like, to the point where I kind of worry about him a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty hardcore. He wanted to propose a rule where you email the commissioner, which is Turtle. Already alarming.
Yeah, well, anything dealing with Turtle is going to get screwed up, so...
Yeah.
There's no point to even
so
try.
So he wanted us to email Turtle by the close of business Friday each week of if we have, like, a backup to announce that they would play for a guy who, like, if he, like, tests positive for COVID and he's not playing.
Why wouldn't you just put him in the lineup Sunday?
That's something I would like to do. But, yeah, I think these are people that, like, I think they want it for, like, if their backup plays a Thursday game, but then their guy on Monday tests positive for COVID, but then they can't put him in.
Right.
But if you email Turtle, then you know Turtle just add the points manually. It's ridiculous. Like if I don't know, just make a call as a manager. If you think a game looks, you know, like it's uncertain if it's going to play, then maybe just steer away from it. Like, it's not that hard.
I did have this dilemma on Sunday because I in multiple leagues I have Stephon Diggs, and I didn't know if this game Tuesday night was actually going to happen. So. I obviously want to start Stephon Diggs because he's one of the better receivers in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I took a gamble. Yeah, you got to take a gamble.
Well,
I don't know what else
also,
say.
It leads to these situations where, like, say, like, I'm up by, like, 5 on, like, John Ritchie, and I think I have it in the bag. So I make decisions thinking, like, all right, you know, I don't need to get too crazy here. I have this win. And then you find out, like, oh, John, he sidebarred Turtle. And this
right.
has happened. And then, like, you find out you lose. It's like, it's not.
And then,
like,
if you're doing that, you need Turtle to let everybody know. And Turtle would screw it up. So anything you leave, Turtle shouldn't be running this league. But anyway, let's move on. What do we got for the update?
Well, all these games are undecided, except for your game. They're undecided because, as you said, there's Tuesday Night Football.
Yep.
So this is going to be a pretty bad update. I'll give you this. Your team's consistent. You're always, like, right at that, like, 86-point mark.
My team is terrible. It's the worst fantasy football team I've ever had in any league ever.
Worse than last year?
Yeah. I think this team's worse. It's terrible. Some of the guys I had to start this week. Started David Moore. He had no points.
All right.
Started Zach Pascal.
Colts?
Yeah.
It's more of a quarterback problem, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, not good. So
you only started those two guys,
and I left Mike Williams on the bench. He had 27 points. I wouldn't have won anyway, but that's where my team's at right now.
Wow! So you took Mike Williams in front of me, only to not even use him.
Yep, he had a good game. Justin Herbert's pretty good, by the way. He had a good game on Monday.
Yeah, Williams' catch to put them in field goal range.
Yeah,
which ended up being worthless, but it was a nice catch nonetheless.
Right. So that's fantasy football update.
You were really into that one.
No, I'm dumb. My team's so bad. I'm done with this. But let's finish up this bubble draft real quick.
All right.
Who do you got here, Mike?
All right.
Yeah, well, let's run down the teams real quick first.
Jamal Murray, Tyler Hero, Bam Adebayo. I think we've done 3 each.
They're 4. And who else did you have? You had somebody else. This
right,
is great radio here.
As well.
I had my team so far is Damian Lillard,
Jaylen Brown,
Devin Booker, TJ Warren, and Nikola Jokic.
Okay. This next guy I'm going to mention, I can't stand low IQ players, so I don't like them, but Michael Porter has to be in this
match. Okay. Yeah, he had a pretty good bubble.
Yeah.
That's a decent selection there. And I'm going to go with Oklahoma City Thunder, Dort.
Lou Dort?
Yeah.
You forgot his first name, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. But I know he had a good bubble. He had a good game against the Rockets.
Yeah.
Yeah, he improved his stock.
He was so, you know, influential. He inspired James Harden to play defense for a second.
Yeah. So that's my guy there.
All right.
Let's just take one more per team. I'm running out of guys. Or we can take two more, whatever.
Norm Powell.
Okay. I'll take Caris LeVert.
Okay. Not over TLC?
Yes.
Because yes. TLC probably earned himself a spot for next year, where Caris LeVert already had that.
Yes. I'll take LeVert. All and right. Then let's go one more.
Playoff Rondo.
Rondo, what do you think of this take? I think Rondo is a borderline Hall of Famer.
I agree with that.
I'm a Rondo guy. The career he's had, he's a borderline Hall of Fame player. He's just a good player. He helps every team he's on.
I agree.
Yeah.
He's a savant, really.
Yeah. Sorry, I wasn't trying to yell. I'm just very passionate about Rondo take.
Yeah, I mean, everyone was out on Rondo because, like, he and Carlisle were, like, each stubborn. But, like, I don't know. Like, they're both good. Like, he's clearly, like, a basketball genius.
Yeah. No, he's a hell of a player. And, oh, man. Who do I go with my last one here? I'll go with Caruso. Why not? I have a very small team. But I'm spreading the floor.
Caruso is like a great example of like why the Lakers won. Like when this bubble thing started, he was like, you know what? I have this wedding in 2 weeks. They told me that I was quarantined.
Yeah, that
I'm out. I'm here. I'm part of the team. I'm on this business trip. I'm not coming out. And you look at like the way Lou Williams conducted himself.
Right. Well, and I saw Kyle Newbeck tweeted this out the other day, and you know I agree, and it's kind of made me change my opinion on the NBA season not mattering. Is the Lakers did take the regular season seriously from the beginning. Clippers didn't. Mm-hmm. And in the end, that turned out to be a pretty significant difference, because I think that kind of carried over to the bubble. There's a lot of time in between, but I think that was part of it. They developed that chemistry.
And now the Sixers are relying on Doc Rivers' accountability.
Yeah, Doc Rivers, who loves load management, and says he's going
to
do it.
I didn't realize he was like canceling practices to go golf.
Yeah, that shouldn't happen. Yeah. So hopefully that doesn't happen here. But real quick before the end, I got to get this Dan Mullen sound in. I should have gotten this in earlier. But if you watch the Florida-Texas A&M game, and Mike, you had remarked to me during the break, and you're right, that there were way too many people at that Texas A&M game.
Well, it felt like they had a bigger crowd than they would for like that game normally.
Yeah, it was like, I don't know, it made me uncomfortable watching it. But college football coaches, they think everything revolves around. I mean, Coach O had said earlier, like in the heart of the pandemic, adamantly, America needs college football. Like, college football will cure coronavirus, basically. I honestly think Coach O believes that. I think he believes that college football can cure any disease. If you just stick him on a football field watching his team play, you know, it'll cure any disease that he has. But Dan Mullen, after his team loses at Texas A&M, he thought that the crowd gave Texas A&M a significant boost. I mean, they may have. It certainly seemed like there were enough people there where it would have made a difference. But in response to that, Dan Mullen had a plea to the Florida Gators and the university to allow more people at their games this week.
It was a great day of football, great atmosphere out there. Crowd was certainly a factor in the game. I will certainly say that. I know our governor passed that rule, so certainly, hopefully, the university administration decides to let us pack the swamp.
You saying 90? You want to see 90,000?
Absolutely, want to see 90,000 in the swamp, Lesher. I don't think the section behind our bench. I didn't see an empty seat. It was packed. The entire student section. Must have been 50,000 people behind our bench going crazy. So, hopefully, like I said, hopefully that creates the home field advantage for us next week, because now we pass a law in our state that we can do that.
So who cares about public health? Who cares about public safety? Pack the swamp. So who are they playing this week? Do they need the crowd this week? Who are they playing?
Are they playing LSU?
I don't know. I thought you were looking up the schedule.
No. So Rhea just tipped me off of this. Dan Mullen, do you know where he's from?
No.
Drexel Hill.
Wow. Great. I did not know that. I just figure every SEC coach is like a Southern guy.
Oh, he went to Ursinus.
Okay. But Yeah, and I don't think the best message, you know, because we need our crowd. Forget about the pandemic. Forget about coronavirus. Pack the swamp is Dan Mullen's plea to the university.
Yeah, they're the they're like the showcase SEC game, I think. It's them and LSU.
Okay. Well, LSU's not very good anyway, so Florida should be able to beat them. But Dan Mullen, damn it, he wants that stadium full. So we'll see if he gets his wish. And the city will make an announcement today in regards to the Eagles, whether they'll allow fans. And I believe Ree said yesterday that Jim Kenney will be on tomorrow with the morning show. So he'll discuss that decision on the morning show tomorrow. And that'll do it for the show tonight. Thanks to Mike Angelina for producing. Next up, we'll talk to Al for the Overlap Show.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.